Welcome back to the Behind the Play podcast. My name is Alex Adams, and I am joined by a special guest, friend, colleague at Sportsnet, the one and only Mark Spector, who joins us in the middle of the playoff chaos. So I appreciate you taking the time and doing this. Mark, how crazy has it been the last little bit? Just I don't think you expected to be here, but here we are.
Yeah, I didn't. When the playoffs started, the Oilers were in disarray, Alex. So no, I didn't really see a team. I just thought, you know what? Too many injuries. Ekholm's not playing. There's no way Evander Kane's going to be able to help. He's missed the whole season. All that stuff. I just thought this can't be their year. It's just not their year. And their games come together after the first two losses in LA. They've won 8 out of 9. And they're playing really well now. Everyone's back and Ekholm's practicing. It looks like he's going to play sometime in this round. So, yeah, it's been an about face for the Oilers' chances in between my ears, that's for sure.
What have you seen? Like, how have they changed around? I know you wrote a story about how, like, the mindset is like, just get to the playoffs, and you don't fully believe that necessarily, but it seems like after game two of the first round, it seems to have kind of molded into shape. How do you explain the turnaround?
Yeah, and they were never kind of right. They were pretty good for about 30 games this season. They were pretty good. They were like there's about a 30 game stretch where they were like the best team in the league basically. But that's not even half a season. The rest of the time they've just had injuries. They've been out of sorts. A lot of guys this season didn't have the season they had last year. And when you go to the cup, it's because everyone has a great season. And then to me, the next year, when a bunch of guys don't meet that expectation, Stu Skinner wasn't as good. Connor McDavid wasn't as good. Zach Hyman wasn't as good. Evan Bouchard wasn't as good. Ekholm wasn't as good. Lots of their best guys, if you put their numbers up this year to last, they declined a little. So that led me to think, you know what, it's just not their year. But what they've done is it's like they've kind of saved their game for when it matters. And now all those guys I just mentioned are playing their best hockey all at the same time. And lo and behold, they look very much, in fact, they look better than the team that went 4 rounds last year.
I guess with that, like for me, from the outside, obviously you cover the team day in and day out. Like it's not just the McDavid-Draisaitl show. Like even last year, they had the secondary scoring from guys like Fogle and McLeod and who aren't there now, but like I think McDavid and Draisaitl only had, were essentially a point per game in the Vegas series. Like, how do you explain all these guys that, had, Matthias Janmark had 2 goals in the regular season, now has 2 goals in the playoffs? Like, how do you explain all those depth guys just like surging and becoming
I
really
don't
impactful playoff players?
know, right? How do you explain? I only know, like, to reverse engineer it, I know that every good team in the playoffs has that. Teams that last, teams that win, they get these contributions, the old cliche, a new hero every night. And the fourth line gets you a goal when you need one, and the third line pumps one in, and your defenseman, the puck goes in for them. And so they have got that. How it all came together for them. Connor Brown's been really, really good here. Kasperi Kapanen gets into a couple games, scores an OT winner to close out a series. I don't know how it's happened. I'll be honest with you. They've really got that. What every good team gets is all the parts are come together and they're all productive at the same time. It has to last for 2 months. That's what makes the playoffs so hard. It can't just, I'm looking at the Dallas Stars. They've got just as far. They're in the third round too, and they haven't had that. They haven't had a lot of their things going on for them. So either it starts for Dallas or they're not going to win. And either it continues for Edmonton or they're not going to win.
I'm curious if I've been thinking about this theory, and I feel like I had to ask the Edmonton Oilers expert, but how much confidence do you think it gives guys like Kane, in between the pipes, Nurse, all these like depth guys, when you have McDavid and Draisaitl on your team? Like, how much do you think they can just play free and easy, knowing like at the end of the day, we still have maybe two of the three or four best players in the world on our side? Like, how much do you think that helps them in this kind of playoff setting? I'm just curious.
Oh, listen, hockey's one of those sports. I mean, Like, there's so many players in football that it's hard to say, hey, we got the best player, so we're probably going to win. Basketball is certainly one of those games. I mean, five good players, you could win an NBA championship. But in hockey, when the game starts and you got the best player and most nights the best two players, yeah, that helps. It helps you mentally for sure. You always have the feeling that, in times are tough, we're not scoring, we need a goal, we've got guys who are going to get one. So yeah, it's a huge safety net. Now, what can happen and what has happened here, and it can be a coaching thing where the coach, every time there's a little bit of trouble, every time you need a goal, every time you're down 2-1 in the second period, he looks to 29 and 97 and overplays them and pairs them together on a line, and they're going to solve every problem we ever get into. This is really the last two rounds is the best example of an Oilers team that's solved problems without 29 and 97 solving them for them. They've got goals. When they need goals, they're getting them from other guys. And that's been an issue here of having a team where the coach basically puts everyone on the bench and just throws the best guys over the boards, and everyone sits and watches McDavid and Draisaitl play hockey. That's not a good thing, and it's not healthy. So there's a line to be walked, but it's a hell of an advantage having two of the best guys. Like I say, most nights, the two best guys on the ice are wearing blue and orange. That's just the way it is.
I find from my vantage point, maybe as part of like the collection of oddity in this run where everything's kind of flipped, is the play of Evan Bouchard. The first two games he's kind of the fall guy, and then ever since he's turned his game like 360, and he can be such a confusing and exciting and invigorating player all in one, all at the same time. How would you just see the way, how do you evaluate the way he's kind of taken that step up? What does he kind of change? What have you liked in his games so far in the playoffs?
Well, like he plays a ton of minutes. He's runs your power play, plays on your top pairing. He's a 25-minute defenseman. So that means that he's going to play in every situation. He's awesome at putting the puck on the, right on the tape of this group of forwards that are some pretty good forwards. You want a guy that can get it on McDavid and Draisaitl's stick pronto, accurately, in stride. Then they're at their best. So he plays a ton, but inevitably he's going to be on the ice in a position to have to defend. And what gets you never complain about Evan Bouchard's ability to move pucks, shoot pucks, run a power play, do all the offensive things. When he struggles, when he's not playing well, it's the other end of it. What do they say? He can be dangerous at both ends. And he was all season. I mean, he was dangerous at both ends at times this season. And it can kill you because sometimes he'll get 2 points, but it'll cost you two or three. And you go, well, was that worth it? Like Erik Karlsson's never really won anything. And there's been a lot of times when no matter how many points he gets, you just can't live with the way he plays defensively. And there was glimpses of that this season with Bouchard, but to his credit, and we saw it in the playoffs last year, when he bears down defensively, he takes care of his own end. He's a big, strong guy who can really skate. There's no reason he can't play defense for you. He's shown it again. He's playing excellent defensively. Now, the only you know how hockey works. You don't always notice a really good defenseman playing well defensively, which is fine. I don't want to notice Evan Bouchard in his own end. Now I'm noticing him all over the ice, and when he gets you 3 points, he's not giving up any. And now you got a plus three and a guy that's really helping you win. So, in the end, I'm not sure they used to call Sandis Ozilinch an offenseman back. As great a player as Erik Karlsson's been in his time, he's never won. I think that Evan Bouchard can win and will win. And he doesn't have to be that guy. He's a good enough player. He can play well defensively and still give you all those points at the other end.
Now tell me how much he's going to make next season. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, tons. That's the problem. He's an $11 million defenseman all day long, and the Oilers will have to figure that out.
Speaking of U-turns, the crease in Edmonton has always been an interesting kind of tale and journey. Obviously, this year we had Skinner start, Pickard back in, he got hurt, Stewart comes back in and after looking like a shell of himself at the beginning of the playoffs, he puts up two shutouts. How much confidence do you think Oilers fans and the Oilers themselves should have on with Skinner, who did lead them to the finals last year, but has also had the kind of up and down play at times?
Yeah, the history of Stu Skinner is if you don't play a great game in front of him, he's not the goalie that's going to win you games anyhow. He's not a guy like a Shesterkin that you can get away with a lousy game and he'll stop 40 and you'll win. He did do that in game six versus Dallas last year. The shots on goal in that game were 34-10 for the Stars, and Edmonton won 2-1, and that was clearly his finest hour and his best series he's ever played was last year against Dallas. But that's his history. He's not that great a goalie in terms of doing it solo. But the other part of his history is when the Oilers play well, he's more than enough goalie for them. You know, if sure, the first two games against LA that he played and got pulled after that, it was Edmonton's worst two games of the series of the playoffs. They were brutal. And the environment for the goaltender was terrible, and he didn't save the day. Then the team said, okay, we're down 2-0. We got to put this together here. And they put Pickard in net, and the team got a lot better. Pickard played well, but the team's playing way better. Now Skinner comes back in the last two games in Vegas. The team is playing excellent defensively, and he gets two shutouts. So I don't think, Alex, you can't win if you just have a great goalie and a team that's not that good defensively. So I don't see Skinner as the problem here. I really don't. I think that if they're going to play at a Stanley Cup level, he'll give them Stanley Cup goaltending. If they're going to play somewhere below that, don't look at Stu Skinner to carry you to a cup because I don't think he's that goalie.
It seems like Matthias Ekholm might be returning. He was taking line rushes tonight. I'm not going to ask you if you know, I mean, unless you do, but how impactful do you think his return will be for this team that, seems to be really turning a corner, and then they might get back their, best defensive defenseman at the very
Yeah.
least.
Like, I didn't think they could win two rounds without Matthias Ekholm. And as it's turned out, they're doing just fine without him. You know, they're doing just their, like I say, they're running on six plus periods with no goals against here as we open up the third round. So, but right, Matthias Ekholm is indeed your best defensive defenseman. He's a huge leader. He's a big 6'4", 220-pound Swede that could skate and pass and shoot and, you know, second power play unit guy. And he's a really, really good player, man, in this league. So you want him in. And, you know, Troy Stetcher's been a revelation. He's carried his weight. He's been fantastic. And you're going to put him in the press box the minute 14 can play. That's just the way it works. So, yeah, he'll make him better. And I will say this to you, it's kind of the way Dallas got Miro Heiskanen partway into the, I believe, the Winnipeg series. If you're going to add a guy of that caliber and get that much better in the third round, that's a hell of a luxury.
I think you picked the Oilers in six. Want to elaborate on that choice and why you think Edmonton will win this series? Obviously, it's two really good teams. Like, it could go either way, but maybe talk about that.
I think I look at what happened last year and the way Edmonton won. I think we went in the last year's series saying Ottinger's way better than Skinner. That's going to turn the tables. Well, he wasn't. Skinner was better than Ottinger in that series. Skinner's playing exceptionally well going in. So I don't, you know, I'm not telling you he's going to be better than Ottinger, but I don't think he'll be considerably worse. Dallas's depth, I like Edmonton's depth better, and it's outperforming Dallas's depth. Certainly, Edmonton has the most three goal guys in the league right now, and their depth is just very good. Defensively, the Edmonton Oilers are every bit as good or better than they were last year, and last year they won in six. So yes, Dallas has Mikko Rantanen, that is for sure, and that's a big addition to the team they had last year. But Robertson, I don't think is right. I think he's hurt. He's going to play tonight. I think he's hurt. Wyatt Johnston had a hard time getting anything done in a playoff atmosphere last year. Matt Duchene is on a prolonged streak, pointless streak, and it's just having a hard time. I'm not sure that, I guess I don't see enough change between these two teams. If Dallas is a little bit better, I think Edmonton's a lot better, and they beat him in six last year. So I'd have to see something else to turn that prediction around. And at this point, I don't see it. But like you say, there's only four teams left. It could go either way, yes, but I think it's going to go Edmonton's way.
How much credit does Stan Bowman deserve for just this season and how he, basically picked up the scraps from the Broberg and the Holloway and
Yeah.
restricted free agency and the offer sheet? Like this, I asked you this question, I think in January, and you probably would have a quite different response than you do now,
Yeah.
but just how much credit does he deserve?
Well, I think he's GM'd this team exceptionally well. Like, when you lose 2 23-year-olds in Broberg and Holloway, and that they're both fast, quick, young players. They're the oldest team in the league. So that hurts. Then they traded McLeod. They didn't love McLeod. He's very speedy and fast, and they didn't want to pay Fogle, and he's very speedy and fast and big. So they lost four fast guys, and this team was slow. Leon Draisaitl told me yesterday, he said, "Yeah, when the season started, it looked slow and it felt slow." And you got to figure out how to keep up in the league. Like, it's a quick league; everyone's fast. And Bowman got after it. He went out, he traded for this Vasilij Podkolzin. Not a great player, but fast and hard and physical and a nice depth piece. Then he picked up Kapanen on waivers. Again, bottom six guy, but really speedy man
Totally.
and playing physical. And they got him at the right time. He's been waived twice. His commitment to being a good player in Edmonton is far higher than it was in his last two stops. I could tell you that for sure. And then at the then he you know they worked a long time to get John Klingberg, and they took a chance on him because he had the bad hips and you didn't know if he'd turn out. And now John Klingberg is playing on a regular pairing, and he's a very good defenseman. He moves the puck fast. He's got great lateral movement. He's making you faster by the way he moves the puck. And then they trade for Jake Walman and Trent Frederick. And Frederick's a straight line guy, but he's big and he can move and he'll knock you over. Another depth guy, and Walman's playing every night, and his puck skills are exceptional. And all of a sudden, you got a little more foot speed, but you play the game way faster. And Edmonton's not slow anymore. No one's looking at the Edmonton Oilers going, man, they just couldn't skate with that opponent that night. That is not the case. And I think you got to credit the GM with that.
Like everything you're saying, and maybe until game one starts, and then something will happen, and the Oilers might lose like 5-1, and then you're like, ah, they're not in the driver's seat to make the Stanley Cup
Of
final and
course.
maybe win the cup. But I'm curious from your vantage point. Like to me, I feel like the Oilers are the favorite to win the cup right now. How do you feel? Like, do you feel like this team is objectively better than last year? It seems like you feel that way. Are we is the cup coming back home, Mark? That's my question.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess if I haven't beaten Dallas, I haven't gone to the Cup. And I can't tell you that they should be favored over, let's say, Florida wins that series out east. I mean, Florida's a champ, and Florida beat you last year. So I would never, I may pick if it happens, and I may pick the Oilers to win the series, but I would say to you that your Florida's always going to be the champ till someone beats them. That's just hockey history for me. But if Edmonton gets back again and can play whoever they play out there, they're not the same team that showed up at the Cup for the first time, in this in recent history, in this era, right? They've been there. They played there last year. The lessons they learned was, and we've seen it over the playoffs, you have to get control and win a game earlier in a series. They fell behind 3-0 to Florida. They won the next three, lost 2-1 in game seven. And they looked back and said, we lost this thing in like game three at home. Sure, you lose game one, but Bobrovsky steals it. They were way the better team. Florida beat you fair and square game two. This version of the Oilers team, like they did against LA in the first round, they come home and they take control of game three and they win that game. They don't, it doesn't get away from them. They don't go down 3-0. So they'll be a tougher out for Florida this year if it goes that far. I mean, they got to get past Dallas, and that's not a given. But they'll be a tougher out. I won't tell you that Florida shouldn't be favored. They should be. But this Oilers team, it's better than the one that came 2 goals short of a Stanley Cup last year, in my opinion. It's a better team. And you don't have to be that much better, right, than what they did last year to bring a Stanley Cup home to Edmonton.
I've talked to Kyle Bukauskas about being at the Stanley Cup Finals and just how crazy the atmosphere was in Edmonton, and I'm sure you probably had a lot of goosebumps and chills. What do you think it would be like for the city to finally get the cup after so many, it will be, I guess, like 35 years if I'm not mistaken, right? Like,
Yeah, 1990.
how crazy will that be for Edmonton, and how much has it just reinvigorated the city in many ways, like the last year and this year?
Well, listen, it's no different than any Canadian city. Like, we're really a one-horse town, with due respect to the Edmonton Elks of the Canadian Football League and a couple of, very low minor league baseball teams kicking around town that are a ton of fun. And I go to the games in the summer and have a great time. But really, Ottawa,
Same thing.
Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver's got a soccer team. Sure, they love them. It's a Canucks town. Montreal, come on, right? Even Toronto, who has the Blue Jays and the Raptors, it's a Leafs town. The sun sets and rises on the Blue Maple Leaf. So that part's not exclusive to Edmonton. There's no, and frankly, we've had cups. We've won five cups in Edmonton. I know it was a long time ago. The last one was in 1990. I was like 25 years old, in
There
1990.
you
I'm not 25 years old anymore. So
go.
having said all that, it does bring a sense of pride in your city when you're carrying the ball for Canada again, as the Edmonton Oilers are. We were all in Edmonton cheering for Winnipeg for sure, and most of us were cheering for the Leafs to win, and they couldn't manage to win, and that's too bad. But yeah, you win a cup in Canada. I think there's a bit of a race now. Everyone wants to be the team to bring it back.
Yeah.
It's been since 1993 here. Everyone wants to be the team to bring it back. Edmonton's had a crack at it last year. They're looking for another crack this year. They're in the middle of the McDavid-Draisaitl era. I'm here to tell you, if they don't win it this year, they're going to take another run at it next year, or the year after, the year after, the year. They're in the middle of a 5-year window here. So there has to be a cup at some point if you have McDavid and Draisaitl. And if it does arrive, and when it does arrive, oh man, are you kidding? Like,
Oh,
they'll be crying in the streets in Edmonton, Alex. I'm here
it'll be like
to
mini New York after the Knicks make the second round. I don't know if you saw the chaos in New York. I feel like it'll be something like that. But you'll be the Timothée Chalamet, Mark, getting out of the car. I guess my last question, and it's maybe bigger picture, is if the Oilers make the finals, if they win, but just if they keep going deep in the playoffs, there is a player who might be the captain of a certain team in, Western or in Alberta that is extension eligible. How much do you think that impacts, like, this run, just even making the Eastern Conference Finals 3 and 4 years? Will he be signing on the dotted line in a couple months from now? Like, do you feel like it's going in that direction?
Yeah, I absolutely do.
Okay.
Listen, you never know what a player's thinking, okay? And I don't claim to know what's going on between Connor McDavid's ears, but I know a few things about him. And the one thing that is the very first and foremost thing in his life, maybe next to his wife Lauren, is he wants to win a Stanley Cup. He is very aware and conscious of the whole, until you win a cup, they're not going to talk about you the way they do Crosby and Gretzky and the greats. And I think that's fair. And I think he thinks it's fair. So he is absolutely focused in his hockey career on being a Stanley Cup winner, and hopefully more than once, but I think you start with one and go from there. So if we can all agree that that is the thing that matters the most and will shape Connor McDavid's future and the next contract he's going to sign, I then we'll turn the page to where else is he going to go that's going to give him a better chance to win a cup than the team that just went to game seven last year, than the team that looks like it might take a pretty good run at her this year, the team that's got Leon Draisaitl signed for 7, 8 more seasons, the team that's about to sign Evan Bouchard for a long time, a team that's it seems to have it in its grasp how to build around two superstars. Like, if you can find me the organization that he's going to flee to,
Yeah.
that's going to give him a better chance to win a cup, I'd love to know who it is.
Can I just say, Mark, 40 years ago, a certain great one started a dynasty in Edmonton. I wonder if we're at the precipice of that this year. I'm not going to make you comment on that, but I've just been thinking about that. Like, you have the Gretzky, you have the Messier. I mean, they don't have, maybe you could say they have the Paul Coffey, who's now an assistant coach, but it feels like if they can get over the hump, like, and he signs, you're
Well, you
that
never
5 year
know.
window, I think you're right about that.
Yeah, I mean, look at right now you're just striving to be Florida. You know, Florida's been in two cups in a row. They won one, and they look, you know, we'll see, but I think they're better than Carolina. I think they're trying to get to a third cup in a row. And in today's world, like that's insane. You know, who's the last, I don't know, I don't have the answer to this. Who's the last team that played
Tampa.
straight cups? Was it Tampa? And Tampa's really been the gold standard, right? They've been such a great organization and they're good every year. So sure, you know, no one's, I mean, no one. I doubt someone's winning five cups in 7 years like those old Oilers did. I just have a hard time thinking it's going to happen. It might. Our definition of a dynasty in 2025, I think, is compressed, right? It used to be you had to win three in a row or four in a row. Well, now it's sort of a, I think we redefine it now in this time of parity, but they're good. You know, they're good, and they got the best two players on the ice most nights. Their goalie, Stu Skinner, is only 26. You know, he should get better. He should have a bunch of years left. Let's see what happens.
Well, I'm going to be watching. I know you will be, that's for sure. Mostly just because it's your job, not because you care. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
A little bit of
a
both.
little
But
of both.
Mark, I really appreciate, you taking the time to come on, especially when, you're in the thick of the playoff, chaos. So I really appreciate you taking the time and doing this, and good luck. And I hope for Oilers fans' sake that you're busy until late June, even though I know maybe you'd like to be on the golf course a little bit more, but hey.
Yeah. That's okay. It's listen, it's a privilege to cover a good team. It's a privilege to be sitting here in Dallas covering another Western Conference final, and it's awesome. All of the guys, you know this, Alex. Everyone in our business would love to be sitting where I'm sitting right now. So you won't hear me complain. You know, the flights are long. Who cares? I just, you know, let's hope it goes
It's
well
the
on this side of things. And let's, you know, it was really, really heartening to see the rebuilds in Montreal and Ottawa take that step this year to become a viable, two viable teams that were entertaining as hell, and a team, two teams that went on the ice every night and had a chance of winning every night. Not, oh God, it's Ottawa. This is going to be easy, you know. So let's hope that on the other side of the draw, we see you sitting across from us one day.
Oilers sense final might break my brain, but we'll see. We'll see, Mark. But thanks again for taking the time. Good luck tonight, and we'll be in touch.
All right, man. Thanks, Alex.